is gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Just because he's God. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear your word today. We pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost to do as only he can. Let him tailor the text that we're teaching today, that every hearer's heart might be met with the truth and transformed. And God would be ever so careful to give you praise and glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Proverbs, chapter 27. We're going to deal with just verse 1. And it reads, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of our God. The writer of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. When we look at this word, we're really talking about time and the Christian, because his warning and his admonition to the believer is to not move forward into boasting, which is a form of bragging about something you do not possess or cannot do in and of your own. And while we make plans for certain things, we say, if the Lord will, we'll do this or we'll do that, or we'll go to this city, or we'll sell and we'll buy, if the Lord wills. But never can we make plans and then make them of a certainty, as if to brag and broadcast about what we're going to do, unless the Lord says the same. Now, there are some things that we must be cognizant of in the text, and it's a simple text, but there's much meat in the message. Look again, boast not thyself. Who's doing the boasting? You or somebody else? You're doing the boasting. We are doing the boasting. I am doing the boasting. And it says, thyself, not thyself of tomorrow. So if it's not talking about tomorrow, let's break it clear and break it down. It's saying, before you get to tomorrow, let's take care today. Folk who do more focusing and bragging on tomorrow live less of life today. So the first focus is to live, you need time to live. Tell your neighbor, time to live.
Time to live.
To live, one, to serve God. If we used all of our mental faculty, all of our physical ability, all of our gifts and talents to serve God, we would find out that God desires that, and he desires that from as early as our youth, because Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And so if you really want to live life, you begin living life by beginning first with relationship with God. So important for the guidance, so important for him guarding you, so important for you going in the direction and ending up in the destination or destiny that God has planned and purposed for your life. If we're going to have time to live, we must recognize that we can't ever, no matter how much tomorrow promises to be a better day, we don't have but today to live. How many times have you made plans about having something much better than you've experienced before and having a much better day today than you did, tomorrow than you did today, and yet tomorrow came and something happened, ambushed your plans, changed your day, and the things that you thought you were going to do wind up being worse than whatever you had experienced the day before. Anybody ever been there? You put great thought, you put great action, energy, all of that into making grand plans for tomorrow. Forgot about living today, trying to defer to tomorrow because you knew tomorrow would be a better day. But oh, what a difference a day makes. And may I say to you, my brother, my sister, you don't have tomorrow. And even if you do, it's not coming till tomorrow. Live life today. Not only that, but not only must we live to serve God, but we must live to serve others. Matthew 22:39 tells us it's not enough to love God. We must love others as ourselves. We must be willing to help others, to serve others, to bring others to another place. You know, you're going to heaven, but the Lord would like you to bring somebody with you. You're blessed, God would like you to bless some other folk. You know the truth, God would like you to share the truth with some other folk. You know Christ, God would like you to witness that with others. And so there are just some things that if we're going to live today, we must put into play today, because today, listen at this, affects our tomorrow. So many of us, whether you believe it or not, if you take out a little time and think about it, so many of us right now are in a place or predicament that we are in, either positively or negatively, based on the decisions we made before today. See, you got to remember that what you did yesterday has shown up today. What you do today will affect tomorrow. How many know you can make some crazy decisions and you never make it till tomorrow today? So how many of you know you can be in the wrong place today and never see tomorrow? How many of you honestly can say to me without fear of contradiction or reservation, I know I will be alive tomorrow? No, not if you're wise, not if you're real, not if you're a child of God, because tomorrow is not promised anywhere in the Word of God to the believer. Today is the day that you ought to make the best of. I don't care how bad your situation, make it the best you can make it today. Things may change tomorrow, but while you are here on earth, while you have what you have and the ability to deal with it, what you say, what you do, how you feel affects your today, which affects your tomorrow. So live today. What happened if you got word on today that you wouldn't be here tomorrow? God gave you till 11:59 tonight to live all you could live. How many of us would waste that time whining, crying, regretting, talking about the disappointments of our past instead of filling the rest of this day with the best of life that we could live? How many of us would say, Lord, with all of the time I have left, I may have not praised you, worshiped you, given you the time you deserve, but with all of the time I have left, I want to put you first. I want to do in these last hours what pleases you the most. How many of you know if you did that, you might be just like Isaiah? When the preacher was sent, listen, to go to Hezekiah, who was Isaiah, and tell him, you're going to die. Get your house together because you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall as if to say, I heard what you said, preacher, but I won't talk to the maker about this issue. And he blocks out everything and everybody, blocks out all of those things that would hinder him from getting this confirmation from God. And he prays in his earnest spirit to God about what mattered the most. And in a 30-word prayer, God heard him. And before Isaiah could get out of the courtyard good, God told him, turn around. I want you to give that man another message. Tell him I heard his prayer and I've added 15 years to his life. How many of us would take that time whining, crying, complaining, I'm too young to die. Why me, Lord? I try to serve you, blah, blah, blah. All of these things that don't really matter. But he went to the Father who could change, who could conquer, and who could control every condition. Live life to the fullest. So that must be time to live. But that's not only that. You must have today time to love. And see, you must have three kinds of love as relates to time. First, it is patient love. Two, it is prayerful love. And thirdly, it's persistent love. Colossians 4 and 5 deals with the patient love. We've got to be patient, especially with non-Christians, and hoping to win them to the Lord, redeeming the time, the Bible tells us, because the days are evil. We've got to be patient, and that means, listen at this, that you've got to realize, one, you aren't now all you ought to be. And you didn't become overnight all that you are right now. And if God has been patient with you, then you ought to be patient with somebody else. They may be saved, they may be unsaved, but you've got to realize this. If God has elevated you, put you in a place where you are above them and has shown you some things you know you didn't deserve, out of patient love, we should demonstrate the same thing to others. Not only must there be patient love, but there must be prayerful love. Abraham prayed for his nephew Lot. Though Lot had forgotten God, Abraham continued to pray for him. It was Abraham's prayer that saved Lot from the destruction because he showed him prayerful love. You see, you don't know, sometimes your prayer can help save or prevent a brother, a sister, a relative, a friend, a foe from experiencing the wrath of God if you pray for them in a loving manner. If you have the kind of love that God has for us that looks beyond our faults and desires to meet our needs. He did this for his nephew who forgot about God. But because he prayerfully prayed for him in love, God heard his prayer. And even though the city was destroyed, the servant was spared. And when you have a love, you might have a relative on drugs or out there in the street, perverted and turned out, twisted and living life backwards. But if you stop being holier than thou for just a minute, and just because you're not out there, just because you're not messed up, just because you're not in that place that you are or where they are, you are in another place, a different place, a better place. It is so that you can prayerfully, again, love them and patiently pray for them and be in the place where you love them with a love that only God will hear and heed. And so many times the people around us that we talk about and talk down upon, instead of praying for and lifting them up, instead of going to God on their behalf and out of love, praying for them with a heart that is toward God and of God, crying for his mercy, crying for his glory to shine upon this situation, upon this person, so that it will be changed and transformed. Do you not know that your prayers could be the very prayers that changes that person's life? Amen. Oh, the church had it right when they said, somebody prayed for me. They had me on there. They took the time and prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I said, I'm so glad they prayed. And when you have that kind of love that you'll pray for, it may not be someone connected to you, but someone God has placed on your heart. And someone may become saved, changed, transformed because of your prayers. Their mamas and daddies may have given up on them, but you prayed for them. You're still lifting them up before God. You're still standing in the gap. So time to love means not only patient in our love and prayerful in our love, but sometimes you've got to be persistent in your love. Exodus 32 and 32. No man had the love for his fellow man like Moses had. And how much do we really love God depends on how much we really love mankind. Persistent. Moses had to deal with. I got news for you. Moses didn't make it into the promised land because of man. He gave them the word of God. He showed them the will of God. The way was made plain before them. And in the midst of that, they kept on doubting God. But here's what I need you to understand. When God gives you an assignment, do not let your assignment become affected by other folks' emotions and feelings. They didn't want to obey God. They didn't want to accept God's word, God's will, God's way. Moses got mad. God told him, speak to the rock. Yes, sir. I want to demonstrate my power, my authority here through my servant. Speak to it. Moses got mad and he smote it. There's a difference between speaking and smoting. And he struck the rock and the water came gushing out. And folk thought it was because he hit the rock, rather than the rock being obedient to the command of God and giving forth the water. And he missed it because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. But he was persistent in going to God on their behalf. And every time they mess up, he would go to God and tell God, God, you got to give mercy. You've got to give grace to this situation. You've got to do something about it. And so it was a persistent love. And sometime when you prayed for folk, don't stop praying. If you've not seen the result, there are some parents who's got some children that don't look like they're changing, and you're praying to God. Can I tell you, don't stop? There's some mate praying for another mate who's out there and who's turned around and messed up. If you love him and that's who God has joined to, don't stop praying for him. Can I tell you, there's a dream, there's a vision God's given you, and the enemy's come against you, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. If God has given it to you, can I tell you, you've got to be persistent in your love for believing that God is not a man that he should lie, and if he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. You must be persistent. So many of us miss it because we don't take time to love and love God the way God wants us to, and to be patient in that love, and to be prayerful in that love, and to be persistent in that love. But then we got to take our time to learn. What are we going to learn? Well, first we start off with learning God's will. Psalm 143:10. You got to learn God's will for your life. Amen. See, if you don't learn his will for your life, then you won't know which way to go. And his will is already always revealed in his word. This would be the easy part if you follow Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct
thy P-A-T-H-S, paths. So we would learn his will if we stayed in his word and gave him all of our heart. But not only that, we must take time to learn God's word. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you need to be able to study yourself, search the scriptures, do like the Bereans and see if what is said is so, and understand it from God's vantage point. You've got to learn God's word for yourself. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Not in my head, not in my notebook, in my heart. Because that's where I directly apply those principles and practice them when they reach my heart. All the rest are just tools to get them to my heart. But when I get it in my heart, then you'll start seeing it in my life. And he says to learn, take time to learn. What else are we learning? Not only God's will and God's word, but God's wisdom, according to James 1 and 5. If we need wisdom, the Bible says, ask God. So we need to learn God's wisdom, not man's wisdom, not this world's wisdom, not our wisdom, but God's wisdom. He said he gives freely his wisdom to any man that asks him. He's that kind of God that wants you to operate as a child of God in his wisdom that is always righteous. And then the last thing you ought to learn is God's way. And when you learn God's way, Matthew 4:19 says, if we follow him, we will discover his will for our lives. When we follow him, John 14:6 says that he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The real life that you're looking for, your spirit is looking for, your soul desires, is found in the Lord. It's not in fashion. It's not in fun. It's not in funds. It's not in the future. It's not in all of those things that we seek and search out as humans, but it is in the Lord. And so we need to learn that. That we need to learn God's will, God's word, God's wisdom, and God's way. We need to take time to learn. Tell your neighbor, take time to learn.
Take time to learn.
See, tell your other neighbor, take time to learn. If you ain't sitting by nobody, you need to say to myself, I need to take more time to learn. See, you might have woke up somebody that wasn't learning. You might have encouraged somebody that was drifting off into wonderland. Bring them on back because they need to know these principles so that they can practice them and profit from them. Well, now what else does this verse reveal to us? Not only must we have time to live, not only must we have time to love, not only must we have time to learn, but here the record is we must take time to look. How are we going to look? There are three looks we offer. First look is up. You must take time to look up to God, to seek God. When we see God, our lives will never be the same. When we see him the way he wants us to see him, when we discover him the way he wants us to discover him, when we come into that place of revelation like he desires us to know him, it only comes when we look up to him, when we seek him and search him while he may be found. It's important as we take the time to look up. We see through his word, we see as a servant how in fellowship with God, he brings rhema, truth, personal, intimate revelation. That comes first of all by getting in his word and then getting in fellowship with him. And when we get in fellowship with him, his spirit begins to take that word and literally break it down, making it palatable so that it is digestible, so that you can take that, receive strength from that, and then making it practicable.
That's it.
Y'all catch that on the CD since you missed it here. In other words, when you get into that place where you look up to God and you see God, God will start showing you some things that he whispers to your spirit. And listen, in order to whisper to somebody, you got to be close to them. There are some things God just can't tell you because you're sitting too far from him. You're following too far. And he don't want the enemy to hear what he's trying to tell you. So he can't tell it to you till you look him up and get close to him. And so when we look up, we're saying, God, I'm looking for you. I want to be close to you. I want to know it that you want me to know, because it is for me to know. So there's a look up. But then there's a look in. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. Do you know so many of us live beneath our privilege? Because we never look in and see the us that God sees. You are somebody. Matter of fact, when you look a little closer, you'll see you are something. When you get an even deeper revelation, you'll see you are something. Oh, I hear somebody. You're something else. And God himself has vested so much in you that until you see you the way God sees you, the enemy will keep you living beneath your privilege. I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can. Will be what God says I will be. I will have what God says I will have. And I believe him, and that settles it. And I'm looking for my miracle every day. Oh, yeah. Don't make me close. That's too soon, brother. Don't do that. Don't do it. Listen. Don't let the enemy rob you of your blessings. One of the greatest blessings is knowing who you are in God. Listen at this, because I need you to hear this. When you know who you are in God, then God can cause all of the things that he has promised and planned for you to now be drawn to you. When you know who you are, you begin to attract what is dispensationally put in place for you. It's yours. But if you don't know who you are, then how can you know what you have? You,